Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback, and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. A couple of great guests already. If you want to hear Shil Kapadia on with us or the great Brian Westbrook, that was 3 or 3:30, you can use the rewind function in the Odyssey app. Up to 3 days. I thought it used to be 24 hours. You can go back up to 3 days, or you can just subscribe to the Afternoon Show podcast, wherever you get your podcasts. Yet another excellent guest, Mike Mayock, the Believe in Birds podcast. You can hear him with Lee Stein, with Lee Mayock. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing great. How you guys doing?
I'm good, man.
Doing good, Mike.
So we started off the show today. There was a gentleman on NFL.com that had the Eagles as the fifth. He did a power rankings of remaining teams left in the playoffs, likelihood to win the Super Bowl. He had the Eagles fifth. Looking at the entire field, where in terms of likelihood to win it all, where would you put the Eagles?
Better than fifth, for sure.
Yeah, I think we all agreed on that one.
Yeah.
I just spent about 6 hours this morning and another five at least yesterday watching Detroit, because I have their game this weekend with Washington. And that Detroit is a different conversation. Their offense is just off the charts. I mean, pick your poison. Offensive line's outstanding, and the skill position guys are even better. And I love what they're doing on defense, despite the fact that they're so beat up. So in the NFC, what I would say is they've been the best team all year long. They've gone through adversity. I think they're the number one team right now in the NFC. I also think the Eagles are number two. And to be honest with you, talent-wise, they're as good as anybody out there. My thing with the Eagles, and we've talked about it before, is what's their identity? They're going to play really good defense. Vic Fangio has brought that talent level and production to where it needs to be. They're a run team on offense. Saquon Barkley is the best running back in the league. They've got maybe the best offensive line in all of football, but they've got to be more efficient in the pass game. And they don't have to, you know, Jalen doesn't have to be Superman, but they do have to take advantage when they get single coverage on those two great wideouts. So that's a long way of saying that in the NFC, I think it's Detroit and Philly. Mm-hmm. That's where I am.
So you brought up the pass game. When you look at Nick Sirianni said that the pass game wasn't as good as they wanted it to be. Kellen Moore said the same thing as well. When you look at, I guess, this past Sunday specifically, do you look at that as more of a coordinator sort of issue, or do you look at that as Jalen?
Look, it's a combination, and it usually is. If you looked at them last week in the pass game, it's not the numbers that bother me. It's not that they're 13 for 21 for a buck 30. You know, he didn't turn the ball over. He only took two sacks. But what really bothered me about the pass game, when you watch the tape, was the inefficiency of it. And, you know, they had three consecutive snaps in the second quarter in the red zone, and they went, and two of the three, Ike, were zero coverage pre-snap looks.
Mm-hmm.
And your eyes got to light up if you're a quarterback and you have the right answers from your coordinator, because you got to attack single coverage, no help, with A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. And they literally went incompletion on it. They were confused on first down. he threw it out of bounds on purpose on second down, and then they tried a running back middle screen on third that got deflected. And I looked at those three snaps, and they kick a field goal, and I'm like, those three snaps confuse me. And then two series later, you know, they go three and out and punt the ball, sack, incompletion, scramble. And then third and four, the last series of the first half, you know, number 11 wins against press coverage really quickly on slant. And the ball comes out late, and the right side of the offensive line got pushed into Jalen. But bottom line is it should have been a first down, it should have been a completion, and they should have got points on the board before halftime. So I look at the pass game and say, Jalen's got to get the ball out, and he's got to take advantage of when single high coverage. And I think you're going to see a lot of it this week with the Rams. And from a coordinator perspective, they got to drill answers into his head. You know, you get zero coverage in the red zone, you ought to be scoring touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, that's because, like you said, that's the matchups you want. You got one-on-one matchups, and nobody's guarding A.J. Brown one-on-one. I'd say it'd be hard to guard Devontae as well. So you got to take advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, and I think that's where I use the word inefficient, and it gets – like what game was it? Pittsburgh, I think. That was the best pass game I saw all year, and they were like 25 or 32, and I think 23 targets went to those two guys. Yeah. But they took advantage of single coverage. And sooner or later, Ike, one of these teams is going to be talented enough on defense to say, we're not going to let 26 in the run game beat us. If you're going to beat us, you're going to have to throw the ball to do it. And they'll give you single coverage on the outside, and the Eagles need to be good enough to take advantage of it.
So we saw an incredible performance from the Rams on Sunday night. And when the Eagles played the Rams, it was probably their best offensive performance overall of the season. Is the Rams team today a different team that the Eagles saw in November?
Yeah, I believe they are. And I'm a big believer in teams do get better or worse as the season went on. And, you know, I got a lot of respect for Sean McVay. And I went back and looked at some of his press conferences, went back to the Eagles week when they got spanked, you know, by the Eagles 37-20. And what he basically said was it was a humbling experience, but when you have the right people in the building, it's a growth opportunity. And I thought that was a cool way to look at it. And after that game, they won five in a row. That's why they're in the playoffs. So, you know, they're on a burner here a little bit, and they're a dangerous team.
Yeah, he hasn't. He's impressed me this year, Mike, and in part last year too, because I thought they played better the second half of the season. But his ability to get that team to play through adversity—they lost some of their best players for the first 4 or 5 weeks of the season. You talk about that loss and those quotes there. That to me sounds like a coach. Like for me, he used to be known just for X's and O's, right? He was like the genius guy. But now I'm starting to hear more about how he connects with his players. He's a motivator. He can inspire his team. And what he's done with this team the last couple of years has certainly put him up higher in my eyes as far as being a coach. He's more than just X's and O's now.
Yeah, I mean, half his players are older than him. He still looks like he's 11. but he's really, really good. And their GM, Les Snead, doesn't get enough credit because, you know, they went all in on that Super Bowl a few years ago. Got it. Everybody thought they were going to be awful after that. And I'm not sure Les has missed on a pick since then. And their defensive line, everybody's talking about the 9 sacks last week and everything. They got a really young, really aggressive, really physical, tough, young defensive line. And they can be a problem.
Well, the way you're talking about the game, it sounds like you're pretty impressed with the Rams. Do you think this is going to be a struggle for the Eagles on Sunday?
I think it's similar to last week. I think it's a similar conversation, except for the fact that the quarterback this week is better than the quarterback last week, and the wide receivers this week are better and more consistent than the wide receivers last week. So I keep saying that somebody's going to come along and make Philly play left-handed, make Phily beat them with the pass game, and I think Sean McVay is going to try and do that. Now, the caveat here is just like last week, Philly's a better football team. Barring turnovers or anything crazy, I think they should win this game. But here's what I would say to be aware of, okay? The Rams have enough talent to win a game, number one. Turnovers are a huge deal. Philly was +4 last week. The Rams were plus two. That was the best in the playoffs last week. And lastly, I think McVay is going to try and steal a possession. You know, he's going to be aggressive on fourth down. He might fake a punt, but I think they're going to do something to try and gain an extra possession or two in this game. And I think they're dangerous. I think they're going to be really aggressive and tough. And Philly's going to have to complete some passes to the receivers in one-on-one coverage.
Yeah, that heavyweight matchup may be Coach McVay going up against Coach Fangio, right? You get these two guys scheming against each other. You look at this Eagles defense going up against that Rams offense. We're not going to have N'Kobe Dean. What type of impact do you think that has on our defense going up against this offense? And how do you like our secondary going up against Puka and Cooper Kupp?
Yeah, I mean, I think N'Kobe Dean's a big deal because he's kind of a heart and soul guy. He's a point of attack guy. He comes downhill. He sets a tone. Those are important guys to have, especially at the linebacker position. I like Oren Burks. I did his tape coming out. I think he's an athletic guy, and he's been there all year, and I think Vic trusts him. And so I don't think there's going to be any kind of huge drop-off there. I think they'll be okay. I think the problem with those two wideouts, Nacua and Kupp, is not only do they create separation with quickness and speed and physicality, they've got great run after catch, and they're also two of the best blocking tight ends in the league in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
Or not tight ends, wide
ends. Yeah, well,
but,
yep.
But I've got a lot of respect for them. And, you know, Philly's got to continue to be top down. You can't let Puka Nacua run one of those sneak routes on a rail, and all of a sudden, you know, it's plus 62 and you're down 7-0. You got to be really careful with their offensive scheme, and you can't let anything over the top. And so far, Philly's been great that way.
Well, Mike, I thank you for this in that I don't want to be scared about the game, but you're somebody who is really, I think, enlightened us a little bit on the dangers of the Rams and how, you know, everybody knows who McVay is, everybody knows who Stafford is and who the receivers are, but exactly how they play and how dangerous that could be. We had Shil Kapadia on about an hour ago, and I said, how rare is it? Because I think the Eagles are going to win the game, and I think most people do, but it's so rare in the playoffs to say that one team has the head coach / quarterback advantage, but it's the other team that's going to win, especially in this point in the playoffs. So that specifically, I know it's kind of dumbing it all down, but that specifically is what makes me nervous about Sunday.
Yeah, but you know, bottom line, again, you're saying it a different way, but we're somewhat agreeing in that the Eagles' pass offense has got to be more efficient.
Yep.
You know, sooner or later, whether it's this week or Detroit next week or whatever, somebody's going to make them play left-handed, and how will they react? To me, that's the bottom line for the Eagles' Super Bowl chances.
All right, Mike. Well, hopefully at this time next week, we are talking to you about the NFC Championship game with the Eagles in it. Fingers crossed on that one. We appreciate you as always. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Mike.
Yeah. Fellas, I appreciate you guys.
All right. Yep. There's Mike. Mike seems more concerned about the Rams than anybody else we've talked to so far.
Yeah, well, he's a football guy.
Football guys respect the opponent.
Dives in a tape.
Yep.
like they spent a total of 11 hours watching Lions tape in the last 2 days.
Yes. Yeah. And I believe him.
I totally believe him.
Yeah. But he's guys like him I like because he's obviously just obsessed with it.
Yes.
You know, and I respect that quite a bit. All right. 215-592-9494. It is Tell the Truth Thursday. Where do you have the Eagles in the hierarchy of teams most likely to win the Super Bowl that remain? I have them at 4. Ike has him at 2. Were you still at 2, buddy?
I'm still at 2.
Jack has him at 3. 215-592-9494. Kay in North Carolina. Kay, you're on WIP. What's up, Kay?
She definitely hit the wrong button.
Yeah.
You'd hear the hang up.
Yeah, because Kay is a good one. Kay was going to give me the business,
I'm sure.
You could
hear the hang up by accident.
The wrong button. She was probably, it was one of those people that mute when they're on hold. I think she was probably unmuted, and she went to unmute, so I'm sure we'll hear back from Kay. Rios in North Philly. Rios, you're on WIP. What's up, Rios?
What's going on, Hard Chargers?
What's up, Rios?
What up, Rios?
What's going on, gentlemen? So, I think I said this before, and, you know, I call because y'all talking about truth. That's all I freaking do. So, Let me. Yeah, it just is what it is.
It is what it is, bro. Yes, sir.
So, I said this. When it comes to the Eagles, never in my life did I really just sat here and felt like one of them dominant teams that I look at other teams, like how I would look at teams before, if it was the New England Patriots or just the way the Kansas City Chiefs are. I never had this feeling about the Eagles that I have now, because it ain't what I really expect. It's what I know I know their potential could go way beyond than what our eyes see at this time. With a little bit of adjustments on certain situations. But the way this team looks, and I'm going to call it, people can call me a homer, people can call me whatever they want to call me. It's all cool. I'm going to still be me. Number freaking one. I don't have no two. I don't have nothing like that. If I even was to think of for them number two, the only thing I could just say is out of respect that Kansas City Chiefs keep kicking everybody else's ass going to the Super Bowl. That's the only thing I could think. But I just can't. In me, can't even – it ain't me even just being like, I just can't say – no. I feel like they're number one. I feel like we're going to go all the way and bulldozer and win the freaking Super Bowl. When we won the Super Bowl in 17, yes, that was the underdog era. We were underdogs, and, man, that was amazing. So great in all the situations how we won. But this way of winning, I like winning by looking at a guy's – in his face, you knowing that I'm going to dominate you, I'm going to do what I want to do, I'm going to kick your ass. If you got a problem with it, I'm going to come back and I'm going to kick your ass. If you want some more, I'm going to come back and I'm going to kick your ass. So, they're number one, man. They're number one. And that's the thing where everybody, all y'all, that's the thing where all y'all see our potential. Y'all, and I hear, you know, whatever talks or whatever it is, if it's Hurts, if it's coaching or whatever, I say this, when my eyes to certain things, Hurts, yes, definitely got to do better. I felt like, you know, maybe punching Kellen Moore in the freaking face, because I'm like, how you going to show us some under center plays? And all the under center plays that I've seen this year look like, and tell me if I'm wrong, look like it was some very good plays that worked out very freaking well for the running back as well as for the quarterback. But I'm not seeing that. I didn't see that last game. I'm not going to go too much into rest, whatever. Jalen Hurts is a freaking football player. And I know and I see what he could do on certain throws that he could do. Tell him more. Call the right place. It's between you and him right now just to turn it up a little notch. Aggressive. Yes, aggressive. Because we ain't playing slap and tickle. We ain't trying to just beat you. We winning the Super Bowl. We don't want to win the Super Bowl. We taking it. It's tank season, man.
Take.
I don't care what anybody thinks. You look at their face, we taking it. What are you going to do? We the bully? We the thief? We the robber? We whatever you want to call us. We whatever you want to say. They just the badasses. So the freak what? Bullies, man. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Bullies. And you know what? Bullies build character. So we're going to bully our asses, and then the rest of y'all in the league, we're going to build your freaking character up to try to get us next year.
I love it.
What y'all think?
Rios, I don't know that I've ever talked to somebody in my life who is built more differently than I am. You might be on the planet the exact opposite person of me. I love you, but the way that you think and the way that I think could not be more different. That is why I appreciate you, is why what is great about what we do here, because we get to talk to all sorts of different people. But I listen to you talk, and sometimes I'm like, I can't even get my head into where your brain is.
Yeah.
It is, you're a different cat.
Violence gets results.
Yes, you are a different dude.
Right, let me just say this, man.
Yes.
There's some, we, no matter how, all y'all is, you, Mike, Jack, whatever it is, we are all men. I know y'all men, because I'm not going to call the station. I'm not going to call the afternoon show. If I don't feel, if I'm, if y'all just males instead of men, I'm not going to call the station.
That's right.
I can't mess around with that.
Yep.
So, you, what I'm telling you, you do got something in you. And I'm going to tell you this, why? Just like the picture, I don't know too much of you, but your ass, polar plunge, your ass is some water. For reasons why. Whatever it is, for your health or for to help benefit people, because you freaking care. So there's something there. I'm not going to even let people. I don't like people talking negative. Well, I'm not saying you're talking negative to yourself, but you got some because you're a man. And sometimes, you know what? The thing about me is not that I'm just better than you. Maybe I've just been sometimes in situations at a younger age, or maybe because of combat, that I was put in situations that I had no other choice but to flip a switch. And think about this.
Oh, it's definitely
you get
because
a veteran to go through all this stuff. Think about it. You get a veteran to go through all this stuff, all this training, go through combat, but then just to be thrown back out on the street when they're not in the military no more to turn that stuff off? How?
It's hard to do.
I'm going to just leave that there, man. I love y'all, man.
All right, Rios. Love you, buddy. I look forward to hearing you tomorrow.
Rios is at that level on Thursday. So he could be like on Friday. Kay in North Carolina. Kay, you're on WIP.
No, not
how
twice.
You doing, Fallon?
Oh, there it is. What's up, Kay?
Did I sound like Justin? How you doing, Fallon?
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yes.
There it is.
Let me give a shout out to Justin because he gave me a shout out the last time. That's my brother from another mother in Tennessee. We both like the bird. That's what I'm talking about. But I told Jack I was not going to rip you today, so I'm going to try.
Okay.
I am. Because my first memory of being an Eagles fan was in 1990. And I started listening to sports radio to Ike and Johnny Marks and Ben. So I'm kind of new to sports radio.
Okay.
But I've been listening on a regular basis for a while. So the best quarterback who ever played football, from my knowledge, from what I've been hearing, is Tom Brady. Am I correct, Tom Brady?
Yep.
You know, he's the best quarterback.
Yep.
Every time Tom Brady opens his mouth about RQB1, he says nothing but positive things because he's a good quarterback. Peyton Manning, same thing. He opens his mouth and he says nothing but good things about Jalen Hurts' play. Every time I turn on his radio station, I hear people like you and people like Joe Giglio always saying something crazy about this quarterback when other professional quarterbacks who've done his job do nothing but praise him. So I'm just confused as to, you know, where the dilemma lies at. When it comes to QB1,
well,
you know, I'm not the one that says, you know, people are talking in code, but you got to give that man some type of respect. Like he said, is this what y'all was looking for? He can do it.
Oh, it's one good game this year. Hey, Kay, first of all, Tom Brady kisses every quarterback's ass because he hasn't been doing that job long enough to, and he might be an owner at some point. All that guy is looking for is thinking about the next 10 years of his career and what he might do, so he doesn't want to get in trouble with anyone.
He ripped Baker Mayfield, but that was because Baker Mayfield ripped him.
Ripped him, right. If you want me to go through and find former professional football players who think, we just had Brian Westbrook on an hour ago, who said, he didn't play well on Sunday, and he needs to play better, and if he doesn't play better, they're not going to win. So, and if you want me to go and find former NFL players who say that they're not impressed with him, I could do that. But this is about my opinion. So that's what my opinion is. So congratulations to Tom Brady for saying that he positive things to say about Jalen. And Jalen does do positive things. He absolutely does. But my concern is that the things, there's not enough positive things, and specifically the things with passing the football, it's not good enough. And that's my concern. So I respect Tom Brady, obviously, Peyton Manning, obviously, but there are plenty of former quarterbacks who have criticized how Jalen plays.
All right. I get that. Totally get it. I totally get your point. What did you tell Ike earlier? I believe that you believe that. So I believe that you believe that. That's me being positive. So, but on the flip, he wins. And
there
when he wins, he does what they are asking him to do. You can't ask this man to go to his job and his bosses say, hey, I need you to do this today. You'd be like, nah, I'm not doing that today.
Why do you think they're asking him to throw the ball so much less than they did early in the season?
Because that's how this team is built.
But no, it's not how it's built. It's not how it's built. But that's not true, though. That's not true. If the team was built to throw the ball 17 times a game, do you think they would have spent $60 million a year on two separate wide receivers?
Yeah.
Oh, you're crazy, Kay.
If No, because if they shut down Saquon, we got both our two wideouts. If they shut down our two wideouts, now we got Saquon. So, yes, we needed this whole all-around thing, because even when Eichenden was playing, what were we missing?
Wide receivers?
I mean, the only good receiver I can remember is T.O.
Yeah.
You know, everyone else. I was pretty young then.
Yeah.
But what were
former
missing?
Teammates.
We were maybe missing one more good receiver. We have two good ones now. And that's, again, like you said, that's your opinion, and this is mine. But that is where a lot of our dilemma comes at with you, Spike, because it's like...
If the receivers are so good, he should throw to them. They targeted A.J. Brown, who is one of the three best wide receivers in football, had three targets, one catch for 10 yards on Sunday. I want you to go through, between now and the next time you call, find out the last time that Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase were targeted three times for one catch in a football game. That's what I want you to do. And you know what? That game on Sunday was a one-score game in the fourth quarter. So it's not like we were beating the Packers senseless. So you can't go, well, we were blowing them out. It worked. It was a one-score game. We got four turnovers, and it was a one-score game in the fourth quarter. So we have two great wide receivers. It would be nice to throw to them.
And you got 4 hours. Let me get this last point out, and
okay.
Then I'm going to roll out.
Okay.
What other team in this league has won games by sheer 1 point? What 1 point? What other team? And nobody is hounding on them the way they're hounding on my Eagles.
Well, sure
and
they
that
are.
Is the, no, they're not. I don't hear anybody talking about the Kansas City Chiefs.
Because you're listening to Philly sports radio.
The Kansas City Chiefs are the Eagles last year.
All right.
The same way we skated through, it's the same way the Chiefs skated through this year.
No.
And we will find out.
Okay.
Who's going to be in New Orleans?
All right, Kay.
All right.
Great call, Kay.
Kay is one of my favorites. All right,
yes.
Kay. Find
take your crap.
That mute button next time. Make sure you got the right button. That's all I want. All right, 215-592-9494. It's Tell the Truth Thursday. We're going to talk a little bit about Kellen Moore next. I think we should, because the guy's got three head coach interviews in the next 2 days.
Yeah.
Seems like poorly timed, you know, all things considered.
Yeah, we're going to be looking at him Sunday to make sure he's locked in.
Yep. So on Tell the Truth Thursday, we want to know where you think the Eagles are in the hierarchy of remaining teams to win the Super Bowl, and you have to be honest. Can't just be chest thumping. Only Rios is allowed to do that. And he was being honest anyway. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Spike and Fritz.